And now, C-Max presents the MaxCast. Here is your host, yours truly, C-Max. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I got my own intro, ladies and gentlemen. How do y'all like that? It was done by me. That's right, by me. And you know why? Because I can. That's why. Yeah, I'm cool like that, y'all. Oh, y'all don't know? Y'all better ask somebody. Hello, everybody. This is C-Max with the MaxCast. My first ever show. My own podcast here on iTunes. I want to thank you all for taking the time to download and listen to the show. I want everybody to bear with me because this is, however, my very first time doing this. And I plan on doing more in the weeks, months ahead. So just bear with me here as this is, again, my first time doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. You know, I heard different podcasts from different sites, different sources and whatnot. And it kind of, you know, influenced me. I was like, well, damn it to hell. Why can't I do it? Well, I can. So I was thinking, well, god damn, I got to go out and buy all this expensive equipment, this and that, to get started. Then I started thinking, well, hell, I got a smartphone. It's got a voice recorder. I can just go ahead and save the audio files and send them to my email and then put them on the computer and do the rest. That's right. I'm going cheap. I'm going yard out. Fuck it. Do what I can with what I got. Why not? Hey, if it works, it works, right? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, my guest here soon, that you'll hear in just a few moments, is my brother, Brother B, a.k.a. Buddy Love. And the show was conducted at the 510 Looney Bin. Now, I know someone out there is thinking, God, what the hell is a 510 Looney Bin? Well, for those of you who don't know what a 510 Looney Bin is, 510 was the street number in which where I used to live, and that's currently where my brother lives now. And the Looney Bin, well, that's the name of the house that was given, because that place was nothing more than a Looney Bin. Let me tell you something, folks. I tell you what, if those walls could talk, good God. Man, the stories they could tell. I'm glad they can't talk. Trust and believe. Man, let me tell you, it got chaotic. Not just once, but many a times there. Crazy, crazy times. Anyways, enough about this blabbering on about past times and whatnot, because this ain't really about me. This is about my guest, and my guest here is Brother B, a.k.a. Buddy Love, my brother. And this is at the 510 Looney Bin, folks. So with that said, sit back, pop a top on a cold one, and enjoy the show. Alright, boys and girls, today I am here at the 510 Looney Bin. Tonight's podcast here on tonight's show, I'm going to be having my brother, Brother B, a.k.a. Buddy Love, on the show with me tonight. God damn, it's been kind of hot here lately, especially up in here. Nevertheless, everything's good, everything's grand. As far as we all know.
And it all tastes good.
And got my brother in the background. He and I were both polishing off a couple of cold ones. Needless to say, he's got the Yuengling and I got the Ice House as always. But nevertheless.
Cheers, bro.
Nevertheless, I got a couple of things I want to get off my mind first and foremost. The other day, and I posted this on Facebook. Some of y'all might have seen it. And to those who don't know me or haven't seen my Facebook or anything for that nature. I'm driving here in town, and I'm stopped at a stoplight, and I see this car pull up to the stoplight, you know, at the intersection right across from me. And I kid you not, this car has a sign on it that says Smart Driving School. And it had the instructor driving. He's behind the wheel. Nobody else in him, you know, in the car with him. So he's got one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand on a cell phone. You know, he's texting away. Finally, he gets the green light. He goes, and at this point in time, he's actually making a phone call and putting the phone up to his head. I'm thinking to myself, damn, is this what they're teaching kids nowadays? And oh my gosh. Last I remember, what they're teaching us in driver's ed is, you know, you got to put both hands on the steering wheel, 10 and 2, brother. But let me tell you, I don't know. This world's gone to hell in a handbasket.
Strike one.
But, sad news. This happened, I guess, last week or so. I just heard about it. The creator of the Segway. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of y'all know who, you know, y'all know what the Segway is. It's a little scooter joint, you know, you just stand on it. They're motorized, and they go about maybe 5 miles per hour or whatnot. You know, they're fairly new. They're motorized joints. They got two wheels, you know, you just stand on it straight, and, you know, it just carries you all around and whatnot. Well, anyways, the creator of the Segway died. Apparently, he was riding his Segway. He rode his Segway right off a cliff and died.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if he did it to commit suicide or maybe if it was a faulty Segway. Needless to say, he Segwayed his ass off the cliff. Alright, that's not a laughing matter.
Not your typical Inspector Gadget mobile.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time is my brother, Brother B, Buddy Love in the house. I want to welcome him to the show. Thank you, Brother B, for being on the show with me tonight. How's everything going for you?
Pretty good. Pretty hot. Pretty thirsty. Pretty good weekend so far.
Yeah, it's turning out to be pretty good. I've had a pretty busy week myself. I had to get up early. I'm not anybody who knows me, even you. You know, you know for a fact that I don't like to get up early. But I've been working some long hours, pretty busy. So I was lucky, fortunate to finally have a day off today. So I just stayed in, slept most of the day, and that's about it. But enough about me. This is actually about you tonight. Got a lot to talk about here. First thing I want to go ahead and ask you about is the name Buddy. Now, as far as I can remember, you got this name from our father, from our dad. If correct me if I'm right or wrong, but that's my understanding. Exactly, explain to listeners, how did you get that name Buddy? And more importantly, the name Buddy Love that you use to this day.
Well, actually, the name Buddy come from our grandma. And she gave it to me when I was born, because since I was being a junior, I don't know, there are too many Dons in the family, so she said Buddy. Actually, the name was given to her by someone that she knew named John. John Stringfellow, I do believe. But that's a long time ago. I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I could barely jump.
And what about Buddy Love? Because you incorporated the name Love at the end of Buddy. Was that just some sort of hoax? You know, something you just pick, you know, poke fun at the name Buddy? Or did somebody give that name to you? Or was that just something you just came up with out of the blue?
Actually, that happened about 19 years ago. A good friend of mine, Vic, me and him used to joke around and play around at work sometimes, chase each other down with these carts. And one time he said that I was so slick I could walk on water, and he's going to start calling me Buddy Love. Ever since then, it stuck with me.
Now, is this the same cat that when I used to live here, I used to be on the front porch, and you'd be out there, and he would ride through in a truck, and he would go, "What?"
Oh, no, that's a different character.
Oh, okay.
That's a guy that works at my job now. He's a day shifter, I'm a night shifter. We basically do the same thing at the same job location.
Right. Okay. Moving on here, we're both fishing fans. We both love to go fishing, and you and I, we used to fish quite a bit back in the day. We almost did it to the point where it was almost like a religion to us. And it was actually you were the one that actually got me into fishing for quite some time, and you helped me out. You was the one that got me with my lures, tackle boxes, etc. And then later down the road, you know, as I got older, I'd have my own money, and I'd be working a little bit. I'd get my own rod and reel combinations and, you know, other lures, etc. How did you get into fishing, and what do you remember about your first fishing experience?
My first fishing experience. I've been so many times I can't even count that high. But what really got me into fishing is that I used to go into these pro-am tournaments around here locally, and I started buying these lures that was made by, you know, regional manufacturers and everything. And I'd go fishing here and there, a couple of rivers, streams, especially down in this place called Rapidan, where there's a dam at that I damn near drowned it twice. But if it wasn't for my fishing pole, I believe I'd be a goner. And ever since then, like you said, man, it's been a religion, and I have over 3 G's invested in fishing. Not counting the fishing license, which I need to re-up on that.
Right, because I was talking to our other brother yesterday, as a matter of fact. He told me that he had gotten his license, and he's planning on doing some fishing, I guess, earlier today with his kids, our nephews. He asked me a couple of times yesterday, you know, asked me, said, "Hey, man, you gonna get your license? You gonna get your license?" I want to, but, you know, I told him, I said, I didn't know. And after carefully, you know, reviewing my budget, you know, for this work week, you know, getting paid and whatnot, you know, I did some research. I said, damn it, you know, I got all these gimmicks called bills, you know, I had to pay. So, you know, ain't no way in hell I'm going to be able to get my license, you know, right off the bat like that.
One big damn money racket.
Yeah. So, but fishing is something that I love to do, you love to do. Biggest fish. What's the biggest fish that you've ever caught? Or you think you might have caught that you can remember to date?
Well, I ain't gonna lie to you. Biggest one that I caught, look at that refrigerator. From the top to the bottom. Channel cat. Biggest thing I've ever caught.
This is your typical size refrigerator.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say 4 feet.
Right now, this ain't length times width. This is probably length times height.
About length, the length of it times the height. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It was a monster. I remember where I caught it. Up at Aquia Landing in Aquia Harbor.
Okay.
Dangerous territory.
But good fishing. Good fishing.
Awesome fishing.
Yes. A lot of memories there.
The striper that comes out of there, they're beautiful. The river bass is nothing that you can find in these streams and creeks and ponds up here.
Right. Now that's Aquia. Now, you can actually, it's got a combination of actually freshwater and, strangely enough, saltwater fish, too.
Yeah, that's what I like to call brackish water. And, you know, the fish that swim around in the brackish waters, I mean, you can't beat those.
Yeah.
You go at the right time, you know, full moon, high tide, you can catch them all day.
Now, I remember one of your exes back in the day, she had caught a crab. And I think it was our other brother, he did something with the line, and your ex at the time, she did something, or it might have been you,
one of y'all did something, and that poor crab, I swear to God, that motherfucker didn't stand a chance. It went flying, landed on the fucking rocks, and just disintegrated. Fuck that poor crab up.
I think what happened, it got lodged between two rocks that was on the edge of the embankment. And somebody was jaking on it real hard. The fishing pole bent all the way over where it's touching the reel.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the crab freed itself. And it went flying up like a shooting star.
Yeah, I remember the impact, too. It didn't survive it. Because those are some big-ass rocks right there, right before you go into the water. But
now you could add some fresh crab sushi that day.
Yeah. Now, it was that same night, I believe. Was it you or was it our other brother who caught an eel?
I've caught quite a few there myself, but for the very first time, it was probably him.
Oh, okay. I knew one of y'all caught one, and that's the first time I ever seen one in, you know, real life. You know, I thought it was a snake. I was tripping. I was like, fuck. But after carefully looking at it, you know, you could tell the difference, you know, between an eel and a snake.
Yeah, they do make good catfish bait.
Right. I'm about to close up on this subject of fishing here. There was a time where you and I went up to Northern Virginia, our little trip, our expedition to the Expo Center up in Chantilly. If you wouldn't mind telling the listening audience some of the wild stuff that happened that night. Because, man, last I can recall is we were going up there. Where was it at? You went around the corner. That was up in...
we was on some back road where Dulles Airport was.
Yeah. But we was in Dale City, I think it was. Dale City, you go around that big sharp turn, and then was near Chantilly, I think, where we jumped that hill. Lord almighty. Was that light?
Yeah.
That van, I swear to God, ladies and gentlemen, that van came off all fours.
I'm surprised I didn't drop the muffler when I landed.
We hit hard, too. The funny thing was, as soon as we hit, we didn't think much of it. We kept laughing. We was just dying laughing, and we just kept on rolling with it.
Kept on going. We didn't care.
Hell yeah.
Tire fell off. We would have said, fuck it.
I'm pretty sure. And then, you know, we ended up getting lost on some back road. And, you know, I think you stopped somewhere to ask for directions, and I don't think that went too well.
I think we wound up lost again, and I ended up finding my way back.
Yeah. But I know we got awfully close to the airport that night, seeing them big-ass jets flying over. But once we got there, you know, earlier that night at the Expo Center, man, it was awesome. You know, they had everything there from, you know, from rods and reels to lures to actual, you know, fishing demonstrations to...
Professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Demonstrations.
Yeah, professional demonstrations. They had knives, they had guns, they had tasers. God damn, they had everything.
Every fishing lure manufacturer under the planet.
Yeah.
Boats, and, Ranger, and, Nitro, you name it.
And for the fishing, for the typical fisherman, you go up there, that was like your fishing paradise. That's your fishing heaven right there. To go there, you see all that, you know, equipment, tackle and whatnot. It was awesome. I would love to go again if they ever, you know, bring it back.
If they ever bring it back, it'd be nice to go again, because I could, if I had $1,000 in my pocket, I'd probably walk in there and spend it within the first 5 minutes. There's just too much in there, you know, that you'd, you know, really like to have.
Right. Moving on here, I want to talk about our favorite NFL football team, the Miami Dolphins. How long have you been a fan of the Miami Dolphins? And tell the listening audience who your favorite player is or was. And I want to get your opinion on the Miami Dolphins as of today. Where you see, or what you think they might be headed. How you see them going. You think they're going to go far or maybe not. Give us your insight to that.
Well, I probably got into the Dolphins since 1972. Yeah, you know, I was knee-high to a grasshopper in a playpen. watching football beside my uncle. And that was when he said that I liked the Dolphins, and ever since then it stuck with me. And that was the same year that the Dolphins went undefeated. And that was awesome. So that was the highlight that, you know, made it even better. But my favorite player, I'd say Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I watched just about every game that he played in, and the guy is amazing. But he just couldn't carry the whole team by himself. But I think his best years was when Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, Pete Stojanovic, all of them boys was on a team.
Back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, those were his highlight years.
I would have loved to seen him, Dan Marino, you know, take the team to the Super Bowl at that time. That would have been awesome. He would have deserved to go to the Super Bowl and to ultimately win it.
I believe he could, you know, come back and still do it to this day.
Yeah.
He's got one more year left in him.
He looks to be in, yeah, you know, you see him on television, he looks to be in great shape.
Yeah, that's also the power of makeup in Hollywood.
It's true that, yeah, because we all don't know what actually happens behind the cameras, you know, behind the scenes. Miami Dolphins, as of today, you know, you got Ryan Tannehill, you know, he's got about, you know, where he's, what, a year in, about 2 years in now, I think, under his belt, being a quarterback. He's got mad potential, you know, he's done pretty good so far, you know, he's already got, you know, I'd say damn near a record of, passing yardage and whatnot, close to it as far as being a rookie. You know, we got some new additions to the team this year. We got a guy I can't think of right off the bat, or running back. We just signed him during the draft this year. You know what I'm talking about. I can't think of it right off. Having one of those...
I'm sure I've heard the name. I just don't have my notes handy.
Pre-senior moment here, ladies and gentlemen. But, what's his name? Juana, whatever his name is. Juana James or some
Juana
shit?
Juana James. Something, yeah. Like that, yeah.
I might be pronouncing the name wrong, but yeah.
Juana James.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. I seen him. He's definitely got potential. He's going to be an awesome running back for the team.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know, with us Dolphins fans. Every year, we're always expecting, you know, so much out of the team, you know, that they just can't deliver. And it's always been like that year after year.
Right.
But still yet, to this day, we all still remain loyal Dolphins fans.
Yes, of course. And also in training camp, I seen a video on Facebook. Ryan Tannehill completed a big-ass pass. I can't remember exactly the yards, but he went deep. And Ryan Tannehill, you know, if you watch him, he's got one hell of an arm on him. He's gotten stronger. He has gotten stronger, I've seen. He threw a hell of a pass to Mike Wallace.
He's going to be the next Dan Marino. Do you know how tight them two are right now?
Oh, they do some serious talking on damn near a day-to-day basis.
They're almost like older brother, younger brother type relationship.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, you think the Dolphins, you think they're going to go far this year? Do you think they might make it to the playoffs?
I'd at least like to see them make it to the Super Bowl.
That'd be awesome.
Now, whoever they face, if it's the Patriots, I hope they blow them out the water.
Or the Jets.
Or the Jets, the two worst rivals. Yeah. Especially the Patriots. I was never a Patriots fan to begin with.
All right, moving on here. Got a couple more topics to talk about here. I'm going to talk about you having your long hair and getting into... bands and playing the guitar and whatnot. Let's talk about the long hair. What made you decide to grow your hair out long? Not that ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this podcast right now, he does not have long hair at this moment. Far from it. Trust and believe. But this was like way back in the day, so.
I've had so many haircuts it put a salon out of business.
Yeah, but
what really got me into the long hair phase, I mean, I was into a lot of 80s hair metal bands, 90s metal, I mean, shit, man. The longest my hair has been was down to my waist. And to this day, sometimes I regret it because I really took good care of it. It looked damn good.
Yeah. You've actually had it different colors over the years, too. I think you had it blonde at one point. You had it like a brownish or blackish color at another time.
I mean, if BC Rich was to use me to promote their fine musical instruments, I'm sure I would have fit the bill back then. Matter of fact, with BC Rich, I still own one to this day.
Now, I know you was in past bands and whatnot. Your very first band, tell us about that you was in, and did you have your long hair at the time? And tell us about, your past, your first band, if you remember what the name of it was, and how did that go? What was that like? First time ever.
Well, let me see. Let me back this train up. Let's take it all the way back to Tranquil Sorrow.
Can you give us a timeline, like years, like just a guesstimation?
Oh, shit, man. I ain't gonna lie. That was back in the days when I was tore up from the floor up, higher than a spaceship.
Was it back in the 80s or the 90s?
I'd probably say mid-90s, perhaps.
Okay. But how was that like? I mean, you being in the first band ever, what was that like for you?
We just couldn't get our feet planted. I mean, that was all we could do, was just play around, have jam sessions. We just couldn't get nowhere. I don't think the dedication was really there.
Y'all. So in other words, y'all really didn't try hard enough. Y'all didn't really bother to go that extra mile and pursue, try to make something of yourselves.
Yeah, we all just partied too hard,
So it was mostly, alcohol influence, maybe, dare I say, drugs, perhaps?
Nah, just a lot of alcohol, actually.
Just a lot of partying, like alcohol and women, yeah.
A joint here, a joint there, but...
Not that there's anything wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen.
That's normal life in rural America.
Now that it's actually becoming legal in most states here in the United States of America. Not that I do it, but, I can't say that I haven't done it, but...
I'm surprised you can't buy it at your local convenience store in every state by now.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure it'll get that way sooner or later.
Yeah, sooner or later. Not like I'm concerned about it, though.
One more question with these past bands here I'm curious about. The last band you was in, what was the name of that one?
The very last one.
Yeah, the very last one. And tell us, what can you remember about that?
I was in a band, Mutt.
M-U-T-T?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, short form, it stood for Musicians Untamed. And we were wild as shit, man. We sounded like a cross between Nirvana, Alice Cooper, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, all wrapped into one. And we partied like rock stars. We drew a crowd. But as far as making a career out of it, it wouldn't have never happened. We all just partied too much.
So whatever became of Mutt is what became of it. How long?
Like the band states, Musicians Untamed, we didn't have a leash on. We were yard out. Right.
Hey, y'all, I'm sure y'all was still young at the time, too.
So, oh, yeah.
I think age does play a big role in it, into a band, especially their success, because I think the older you are, the wiser you are. You're much more mature, and the older you get in life, you pretty much, you have a general idea as to where you want to go. As opposed, when you're younger in life, you pretty much, you don't have no clue as to where the fuck you're going. And you just, you're young and you're not as mature and you pretty much don't give a fuck, whatever happens, happens.
Oh, yeah. You got a wide open playing field, You can start anywhere and do anything.
Right. Last topic here I want to talk about before I go ahead and wrap this up. Some people don't know this. You and I are actually right now, as we speak, still trying to get a band going by the name of Secret Obsession.
in the midst of forming one of the best bands, you know, to...
And with that said, my brother, he, you know, Buddy Love, he's actually plays the guitar, lead guitar. I'll get back to that in just a second. So we're talking about Secret Obsession here. It was a name that, you know, actually, what some of y'all won't know is the fact that the name Secret Obsession, before it was actually, it was going to be called Bloodlust. And
we've done some research on that, and yeah, somehow it's been used in a movie and
the song too. And
yeah, it's like, yeah. Okay.
So then we said Secret Obsession. I like that, you know, because you know, it makes you wonder, what is your secret obsession? Because that gets your gears going. Like, damn, you know, everybody has a secret that, you know, everybody, somebody don't know.
Everybody's got that deep within, or you know, they're. You know, feel free to open them, you know, and say, you know,
and the name Secret Obsession is interesting.
Everybody's got it.
Because, you know, it's like you're obsessed with, you know, that secret, like keeping that secret.
And who knows what that secret is.
Exactly. And in the artwork, which, you know, I've discussed with you, you know, in the past, you know, it'd be awesome, you know, everybody's on the front, you know, we got our fingers off our lips, you know, like, shh, you know, like, don't tell, like, you know, it's a secret.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Actually, I thought about doing, like, the four monkeys on the front of it. Hear no evil, see no evil.
Speak no evil. Yeah.
And then the fourth monkey, there's got to be something. Speak, hear, see. What's the other sense? Touch?
And, of course, you taste. Huh. Touch and taste.
Okay, well, have the fourth one stick his tongue out.
maybe sticking his tongue out, you know, looking all evil with horns or something.
Yeah.
That'll be like the devil or something.
doing like the licky face.
Good Lord. Yeah, it's interesting, you know.
All right, folks, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up right there. We're going to have part two coming up here eventually, hopefully sooner than later. It's going to be part two of my interview with my brother, Brother B, a.k.a. Buddy Love at the 510 Loony Bin. And in part two, we're going to pick up where he left off, talking about Secret Obsession, talking about him being in the band, being a lead guitar, what it means to him, and what he thinks might happen as far as with the band, the future of it, whatnot. I just found somebody the other day. His potential could be a bass guitar for us. I'm just going to keep in touch with him. Hopefully everything will follow through. Like I said, part two is going to continue off where he left. You know, it's going to continue where he left off, basically, with the additions of, you know, other topics that I'm going to include. I'll be asking him what his favorite beers are, traveling, where he's been, where he want to go, and ultimately, you know, his opinion, getting back to the bands, you know, his opinion of what it takes to become a successful musician, a band for that matter, and why. So you definitely want to go ahead and tune in for part two of that, and like I said, hopefully it'll be sooner than later. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, once I get that up and running, I want y'all to go ahead and be sure to download it. Till then, just keep checking back. And like I said, I'll try to get it up and running as soon as I can. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and ride off into the sunset. Call it a night. Say deuces to you. It's been real. Thank you for once again tuning in and listening to my podcast. With that in mind, I'll say deuces, and I'll catch your asses later.
This has been a MaxCast podcast, an iTunes exclusive. C-Max of the MaxCast would like to thank you, the listeners, for downloading and listening to the show.